B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
Win at Bruin Style. Bruin Style. It's playoff time, and now St. Louis plays the Bruins. And just like with Toronto, we will leave this team in ruins. We'll bring the Stanley back to Boston, cause we are the Bruins. Winning games is what we're doing. We've got Tuukka Rask. This guy knows how to stop the puck, and he moves very fast. Don't mess with Marchand, cause that guy knows how to kick your ass. Don't mess with Chara, Patrice Bergeron, don't poke the bear. Do not poke the bear. Beat St. Louis, let's beat St. Louis for the cup.
Hey!
We want the cup.
Hey!
Beat St. Louis, let's beat St. Louis for the cup.
Hey!
We want the cup.
Hey!
And this is how we're gonna get the Stanley Cup. Win it Bruin style. Everybody now.
Hey!
Hey, Nathan Krejci.
Win
it Bruin style.
Hey!
Nathan Krejci. Win
Bruin style.
Win it Bruin style.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, 6:04, and the playoffs start today. And it feels weird. Like, it's strange. It's one of those things where, you know, in years past, the day the playoffs started, it felt like, all right, there was like an energy. And maybe it's just because of the four games that the Bruins just played, and maybe just because how weird everything has been, obviously, with the stopping and starting of the season. But I've kind of almost got to convince myself that the playoffs are starting. Does anyone else feel that way? It's like it's just really odd. Like I'm not as like excited, which is weird. No. And I think it's just because I'm probably more nervous than anything.
No, it kind of feels normal. You have that pit in your stomach that we all know about. If you're a Bruins fan, you sit there, and from this moment on, you're worried constantly about this. I don't know what you're talking about, Rich. I know the weather's a little warmer than we're used to. I'm fully in playoff mode. I don't know. Maybe you've just been in isolation too long. I'm telling you, I'm just as worried now as I would be in April.
All right, playoff hockey is the best, and it sucks.
Yes.
It's like it's this mix of like I there's nothing better. I mean, obviously there's really no better sport in the playoffs than hockey. It's so high energy, it's so intense, but for that very reason, when there's a team that you have a vested interest in, those games are excruciating to watch at times. The pit that's in your stomach that you mentioned. Do you remember back in 13 when like those double overtime games? Where you're just sitting there, and it was excruciating.
Game one in the Stanley Cup Finals went till about 1:30 in the morning, and they lost. It was the worst.
Yeah, it was almost like a Red Sox game. It was insane. but I mean, the way that these games, like, they're not, it's not really enjoyable. And that's why, like, if every once in a while you get, like, a blowout, it's, like, the most welcome thing ever. It's like, oh, I can sit here and I can watch it. Even one way or the other. Like, I almost sometimes don't even mind the Bruins getting blown out. Just like, all right, well, at least they don't have that, you know, that potential stress ulcer that's brewing from from playoff hockey. But man, there is, it's like, I think like physically it actually does something to you. And so just sitting and watching these games when you have, now, if your team gets knocked out and you've got no vested interest, oh, it's such a phenomenal watch. It's fantastic and it's great. But I mean, just get ready because here we go. Hopefully we're going to have a nice long run of painful games. But I don't feel that way, and I've never felt that way, even when I thought the Celtics could win a championship or even like the Patriots. The Patriots I get a little stressed out about. But I mean, it's like nothing is as stressful when it comes to being a sports fan as than watching the Stanley Cup playoffs.
What does it say about me that I disagree with you again? I get stressed out with all three. I'm miserable.
See, the Celtics haven't done that to me for a
while. Oh, I was miserable.
Maybe since 10.
No. During the run of the Eastern Conference Finals, we have home court for Game 7. I mean, the more games that they won, the more stressed out I got. I was lucky enough to be in the building.
Are you talking about 2 years ago?
Yes.
Are you talking about 2 years ago? Losing
to Jeff Green. Jeff Green in a Game 7?
Yeah, losing to Cleveland in Game 7 after they had made such a brilliant run. I was lucky enough to be in the building that day. I was stressed beyond belief for that game.
Dude, that was found money. No. That whole playoff, that Eastern Conference Finals was like, didn't even deserve to be there.
I disagree.
The Celtics didn't even deserve to be there.
Nope.
You know?
Once you get there, get there and you have a lead, it's all changes. It's the sliding scale of expectations. It's fine to say found money, but when you finally realize that not only are you in the series against Cleveland, you have a chance to win and go to the NBA Finals after losing Kyrie Irving at the end of the season, and you have these kids playing so far above their heads, you didn't expect it. They're there. They should have won. They should have gone to the NBA Finals. I was miserable watching that game, watching it all fall apart. It was terrible.
I don't remember which game it was. It was either 5 or 6, but it was the night of the Metallica concert at Gillette Stadium. And I went to the show, but you know, the whole time I'm checking my phone, I'm looking at the scores, and it started off competitive enough. And then I remember at one point I just wasn't able to get like great reception while I was there, so I didn't really see the score. I left the concert early because I kind of wanted to hear the end of the game, and I wanted to see if I'd get home for the end of it. And I get in my car, and I'm leaving Gillette, and it's one of the games that Grandy was gone, and it was you and Cedric Maxwell doing play-by-play.
It was Game 3.
Game 3.
Yeah.
And by the time I got in the car, I think that the Celtics were down by like 35.
40.
Like they were getting
40, yes.
Okay. They were down by like 40. And you know what? That drive home was one of the most entertaining 30 minutes that I've had because it was, you guys weren't even talking about what was happening in the game. You guys were just BSing about anything because it didn't matter. The plays were happening. Like you would hear like, you know, someone would score and you guys weren't even referencing what was happening on the court because it didn't matter at that point. That game was over like in the second quarter. And it was the biggest ass-kicking reality check that I had ever seen, or ever heard, rather. And I was laughing the whole way home just at how nobody... And you know what? I'm glad you weren't even talking about the game, because the game sucked. You guys, I don't even know what you're talking about. Sandwiches or something.
Oh, I remember.
Like
I can tell you. I can tell you exactly what we're talking about. Max that night, and this is brilliant, Maxwell, brought up a documentary he had seen on National Geographic, and it was
there was
a quiz involved about which animal kills more humans each year. Is it a lion or is it a hippo? And if you had to guess, Rich, which animal kills more humans each year, hippos or lions?
Oh, well, I learned it was a hippo.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it was. Yeah. I got it wrong. Max was like, gotcha, it's a hippo. I'm like, how do you figure that? And that killed about 6 minutes of game time. It was great.
I mean, step away from that for a moment and just realize you were doing that during the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, it was such an ass-kicking. Yep. And I was laughing the whole way home because it was just an astounding. And, you know, I was the one who went on the air. And, you know, the Celtics looked so good the first two games of that series. And I'm like, and they had no answers. Like, it seemed like LeBron was the only guy that was playing, and they were able to do a pretty good job, you know, not shutting him down, but at least, you know, limiting LeBron James. And after two games where the Celtics just looked far superior, I was like, well, that's it, dude. They're going to the finals. Like, this is insane. And I think that the number of teams that have come back from a 2-0 deficit, and it was nutty. But, and then, of course, you know, that Game 7 happened, which was, you know, awful. But I didn't feel that stress. It just, as I said, you know, with the Bruins, it's... they're expected to do something huge this year. And so I'm a little stressed out, but I don't quite feel it yet. And maybe like by the end of the show, it'll finally start to feel real, or maybe the drop of the puck. But this begins today, the most amazing yet stressful experience as a sports fan is when a team that you actually want to win is in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And it just... I don't know if it's fun. I don't know if I like it. I like when it's over and they win. That's fantastic. And you get maybe like 12 hours of, you know, enjoying it. You know, the next morning we come in the air, we talk about it, and then you stress out about the next one. Ugh. So here we go. It starts today. And I don't know if I'm ready, man. I'm looking forward to it, but it's going to be interesting. And as I said, and maybe just like the last couple of games have kind of stunk things up. And we'll talk about this in a little bit because, I mean, everyone on that team, everyone, even including Bruce Cassidy, is giving you an indication that they didn't give a rat's ass about what happened in the round robin. Like, they went in saying, you know what? If we end up being the four seed, it doesn't matter because look at the competition.
Doesn't that piss you off, though?
Blah, blah, blah.
No, because they said that all the way through. And, you know, they said that from the very beginning.
That's what bothers me.
That way.
It trickled through the whole entire team.
Fine.
The whole team it went through.
None of it matters if they blow Carolina's doors off. None of it matters if they win this playoff series. They can't score goals. The last four games, they could not score goals. You know, entire lines were missing. And then the last game you just saw, you saw some solidification in the middle two lines. You know that DeBrusk and Kasha are going to skate with Krejci, for example. You know who's going to be on Charlie Coyle's line. And that solidifies everything top to bottom. The defense did look good for the most part. They made two bad mistakes. And the goaltending is fine. So that's all you can ask for. Heading into a series like this, you'd like to see them score more, but I don't know. Rich, tell me if I'm wrong. It seems like now they know what the lineup is. The goaltending is fine. Let's go. Drop the puck. I'm good.
What makes it a little scary is that, you know, this layoff is so weird. Like, none of us know how this affects teams. And I would have liked to have seen at least one game where they went out there and they were dominant. I would have loved to have seen that. Just one. But that's everything you're hearing. And I don't think that... And Cassidy has almost this amazing, admirable... lack of being able to BS. Like, he just doesn't. He just tells you exactly what he thinks. You know, he's like a reporter's dream. He tells you, you know, some things that you most probably coaches would not say. And I think the one thing that he was very honest about was that they were just trying to make sure that they got into the playoffs healthy. And I'm starting to buy into it. After tonight's game, we might realize that it was all garbage. If they you know, crap on the ice, then we'll say, you know what, you can't go into the playoffs that way. Or, you know what, tomorrow morning we're laughing and saying, well, we should have taken their words for it.
You see, Rich, you say you'd like to see the Bruins be more dominant. And Joe, feel free to jump in. Washington had three shots in the first 27 minutes of that game that they just played. The Bruins were thoroughly dominant in those first 27 to 30 minutes of that game against a very, very good team. I think you've seen it. The difference is they're not scoring goals, and that's a massive part of it, but they're playing well.
All I'll say is they deserve the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
Yeah. I think they've earned that, especially with all the veterans. And yeah, I just, once again, we'll find out more tonight. But here we go. Starts another season. Mike behind the mic, Callahan, if you're listening, we need another rally cry. Come on, man. We need a brand new one. We haven't had a Bruins song since, well, that one, I believe. So get cranking on it. You can always send it to me. Remember, my email inbox is always open to you, Mr. Mike behind the mic, Callahan. All right. Let's talk about everything that happened yesterday with the college football season. Will they or won't they play? On top of that, the Red Sox just finished playing about an hour ago. We will talk about that as well right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What's up? Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Found the sports of its Toucher and Rich. By the way, one of our listeners just tweeted me a photo, or actually a screen cap of a post that he put up that night from Gillette Stadium when Metallica played, and it said, slightly better than watching a 42-point slaughter. I mean, I got in the car, and I was like, oh, my God. Because, you know, the game started off just fine, and then for some reason I couldn't get the score, and I was like, all right, I want to find out the end of this game. And I've seen Metallica a million times. They were great, by the way. And I got to the car, and I'm like, oh, my God. This is like I mean, I don't even remember how it turned, like, and how it just went from how it got that bad so quick. But I just remember after that show going, all right. And at first I was pissed. I got in the car. I'm like, I left a really good show to listen to this. And then when I heard you guys BSing and basically not even paying attention to the game, I'm like, all right, well, this is fairly entertaining.
It was a lot of fun, actually.
Oh, sure. I'm sure. I think that was the night that Cedric Maxwell decided that you're a much better partner than Sean Grady. He likes you, Walk.
He does. He's been very nice to me.
He likes you. Now, listen, nice. I like Sean Grandy a lot, obviously. I think he does a great job. But I think Max likes you. I think that, like, if, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, if Sean Grandy, you know, like, was to find a new job, or if he retired or something like that, you know, I think Max from home would be like, oh, man, I'm going to miss you. Hey, Waldick, come on in here.
Well,
like,
what I gather is arms. Sean and Max don't only hang out one time a year.
Yes.
It's like they set a date. We're going to go here.
I know where it is.
Whatever.
It's the Texas. It's the Texas Triangle road trip. They go to the Alamo in San Antonio. That's their one day out.
But
I think Max
has
said that on the air. Yeah.
Why do they go to the Alamo?
That's, I don't know why they do it, but that's the one trip. When they're in San Antonio, they go out. They do the Riverwalk. They do the Alamo. It depends on how many days they're there, but that's their one trip.
That's like going to Faneuil Hall.
I don't know what to tell you. I've never been to San Antonio. I don't know.
But those guys have been together for a long time. Because,
yes.
You know, 15 years ago, they were at an old station I was at, and then obviously went to John's old station, and boom. Mm-hmm. So these guys have been together for a long time.
I think Max just likes his own, like, he likes his privacy. I think he just likes to be in his room and hang out, right?
That's very true, yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. He just, yes. he just likes the couch life. Got
no, but it was actually kind of surprising. I did a game in Houston before the shutdown, and it was it was the day before the Super Bowl. I was in Houston, I think. And anyway, so Max called me and invited me out to lunch. I'm like, wow, all right, let's go.
Hey,
so
right.
that was like a banner day, because usually when you're on the road, you never see Max at all. After you get off the plane, you never see him again until the game. So
he likes Wallach. He likes you, man. He really does. He's a big fan of you.
I'm happy to hear it. That's great.
Well, listen, after what had been a chaotic 48 hours in the world of college football, seasons are still on the brink and decisions yet to be made from some of the major conferences as to whether or not there's going to be a season. As far as the Power 5 conferences, here's where things seem to stand right now. Reports yesterday surfaced that the Big Ten is almost certain to cancel as soon as today. Dan Patrick reported yesterday that the schools voted in favor of canceling the season by a 12-2 vote. That's fairly substantial. Reports are that the Pac-12 today will vote in favor of canceling the upcoming season, but then it gets interesting because reports yesterday were rolling in that despite word to the contrary, several of the conferences are either hesitating to cancel or are moving full steam ahead. The Big 12 reportedly still confident in having a season. The SEC, which once again I said, out of all the sports stories this year, if they were to cancel, that would be the most shocking. But they are said to be taking it slow and buying time before they make a decision. I mean, there really isn't much more time. And according to CBS Sports, they say a high-ranking ACC official told them the conference absolutely intends to play this fall. Now, in the meantime, several college athletes have spoken out in favor of playing. Here is future Patriot Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, since I made the decision to play, I hadn't thought about it again. You know, that's my decision. I'm committed to play my last year here. You know, if that's what I decided to do, it's my third year. I even have another one. So I think people are forgetting I got 4 years. So I'm just ready to have a great year, be a part of this team. We're super pumped. People saying I should sit out. And then after this past year, everyone's saying all the stuff I got to work on. So at some point, you got to make decisions for yourself. I'm just excited to play football.
So we're starting to learn a little more about why the MAC conference decided to cancel their fall sports, and also the sudden hesitancy amongst the Power Five. So there are a couple articles that came out yesterday where they talked to people who were some of the decision makers. And according to reports, it was an influx of heart issues linked to the COVID-19, including that of, you've heard the story about the Indiana offensive lineman, the guy's name is Brady Feeney. He spent 14 days in the hospital. He's now dealing with heart damage, as well as the University of Houston defensive lineman Cedric Williams. He announced Saturday that he was opting out of the season because he also is suffering heart problems associated with COVID-19. And it's funny, it's interesting that each one of these reports also seems to mention Eduardo Rodriguez and his situation, and the hesitancy for each conference to want to be tied into something such as what he went through. But there are some schools that, despite the conference canceling, they want to plow ahead and possibly join up with another conference this year in order to play ball, including Nebraska's head coach Scott Frost.
We want to play a Big Ten schedule. I hope that's what happens. Our university is committed to playing no matter what. No matter what that looks like and how that looks. We want to play no matter who it is or where it is. So we'll see how all those chips fall. We certainly hope it's in the Big Ten. If it isn't, I think we're prepared to look for other options.
I have to laugh because the one part of the quote, I don't know if you have it. You have anything else from Scott Frost, or is that it?
No, that's it.
Okay, he added afterwards, if we don't have college football, we're not going to be able to pay for anything around here. Those were his exact words. So it isn't some rah-rah, you know, team. It's the University of Nebraska people going to Scott Frost and say, you have to play or we're not going to be able to pay anybody anything ever.
Sure. So obviously it's all about the best interests of the students.
Right.
just comes right out and admits it. Yeah, we need money. But I mean, this is going to be a big week, and we should know more about several of the conferences soon. I think the one... I don't want to say the biggest shock yesterday was that, you know, of all the ACC is the one that's like, we're doing it. There's no mixed messages in what they're saying right now. The SEC, it's interesting how they're approaching this. This is one of those things where they're stepping back and they're watching everyone else, but they also think that they have time to bide. Like everyone says that what they're doing is very measured and calculated, and they've been sitting on this for a while, but they also are not going to be anyone to jump the gun right now. They, according to everyone, they think that they have at least 2 more weeks before they can make a decision, which is insane, because when was the first game of the season scheduled? Like, what was the date of the first one that's would be on the SEC schedule?
SEC first game. So I know the first game of the year was supposed to be Notre Dame in Ireland, and that got postponed.
Oh yeah, that's out.
Yeah, that's out. But I'm trying to remember. But I mean, they've got what, less than a month, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, so they've got less than a month since this thing's supposed to start, and they believe, according to reports, that they've got about 2 weeks. And I think they're just going to continue to train. They're going to continue to, you know, do things the way, as if there is a football season until they ultimately make a decision. But today is going to be more than likely the decision on the Pac-12. I guess the Pac-12 they're saying that it is going to be canceled. And you wonder what's going to happen if you have three of the conferences cancel. And what if they decide to end up moving it to the spring? Because that's another discussion that's going on. So let's say the SEC and the ACC have seasons, but the other ones all want to move it to the spring. How are you going to do that?
You just do it. Yeah. I mean, so you don't have a national champion. You just do it. I mean, it's the money that matters. And in the end, it's the money that matters. You get television exposure. And so what? You may not have a national champion, or you have a champion among the conferences that decide to play in the fall. I mean, ultimately, all this entire season is an asterisk to begin with. The idea is somehow get in your 10 games. That's all it is. And by the way, you were asking about when the season's going to start.
Yeah.
BC's first game is September 19th.
Okay. All
right. So they have
September 12th.
You have two or 3 weeks here. You got some wiggle room.
Okay, so think about it this way, though. What if the SEC says that we're going to play in the fall no matter what, and most of the other conferences say we're going to wait for the spring?
Fine.
So the SEC does their thing. They play. They don't have any fans or limited fans. And then all these teams, let's say everyone hopes that there's a vaccine by the beginning of the year, they're able to have full stadiums, and they're able to make a ton of money, and they're able to get the TV rights. doesn't that kind of screw the SEC? Like, if you're the SEC, don't you have to consider that? Like, saying, hey, you know, if we postpone it, we can basically make up all of our money when it comes from ticket sales and it comes to everything else. We would be able to make more cash if we potentially take this risk and wait till the spring.
But what if there's no vaccine by then? What if you roll the dice and you don't get it, as opposed to forcing it through in the fall? And, you know, if you, I watched a long video with Dabo Swinney yesterday saying, you know what, you know, I have kids on the team. They're much safer here than they would be going back to their homes. You know, we want to play. We want to play. And this is the, it's much safer to do it this way than wait until the spring, because the kids could go home and get infected. And then we have a whole different problem on our hands. Suppose they force it through. And
well,
there is
the, half of his team is already infected.
No, I know, but you understand my point. The SEC would rather have a definite in front of them instead of a maybe in April.
But that maybe, I mean, it's not really even a definite. I mean, that's the thing, is that they could start the season and the team could. It's just one of those things where if you're going to roll the dice, you're going to get the TV rights anyway, because it sounds like this is a really easy thing for the networks. I guess there's enough space and enough room in the schedule where a college football season in the spring would work out perfectly. And so for all of those schools, they would be making TV money anyway. So you're not going to have fans in the stands, or you're not going to have full stands in the fall no matter what you do. That's something you just can't have. There's the regulations state that there's only a certain amount of people that they can have. It would have to be a limited amount. So what you're saying is that you could play football in the fall to not many people, all right, or you could play it in the spring and potentially have full stands. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, a gamble that I would be willing to take. Right. I don't know. It's weird, but we're going to find out more information. I hope maybe by today you might even find one or two more conferences that are going to make a decision. And then it's just like dominoes falling. Mm-hmm. All right. What's that?
I was going to say, Rich, unfortunately, no degenerate specials this year. Hawaii, the Mountain West.
That's right.
Been canceled.
Yep. That's the one team that you had inside info on, if I'm not mistaken.
That, like, to me, this is like the first like nail in the gut. Like, this one really hurts.
Losing the West Coast.
All right. Well, let's get to what happened with the Red Sox yesterday. Also, Julian Edelman speaks out for the first time about Tom Brady right after Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub. This is the home of the game.
Patriots!
And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Joe Murray, John Wallach. Well, that was really, 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 really long.
Line drive, and that one's into the alley. One run in. Here comes Benintendi in to score. That is a two-run hit. Ara Ooze has had himself a night, and the Red Sox have closed the gap to one.
Yep, but guess what? The Red Sox ended up losing, but only Wallach stayed up to see it. The longest nine-inning game at Fenway in 3 years, clocking in at a brisk 4 hours and 24 minutes.
Love that 7:30 start, too. That was great. Game ended almost midnight.
That's got to go. Can they get rid of that?
No, they can't. Yeah,
I don't think there's anything I enjoy. Like, okay, there's no concert that I would want to be at for 4 hours and 24 minutes. Like, even my favorite band. Like pick your favorite band in the world. Is there would you want to see them play for 4 hours and 24 minutes?
No.
I mean, I turn it off in the seventh, I think. And that was close to
11:30.
O'clock.
Yeah, 11 o'clock. Yeah. I sent an email, and I was like, it's the top of the seventh right now?
Walk, did you watch the entire thing? Be honest.
I did not.
No.
Right, I was out by about 11:15. So, yeah. No, I did not watch the entire thing. I mean, look, I am now at a point where I watch to see if I recognize the guys who are pitching. You know what I'm saying? The Red Sox have this guy, Philip Valdez, who I'd never seen before. I've seen the roster. I'd never seen before. He's 6'3", 165. He looks like a cartoon character. He walks out there, and he pitched last night. They're a collection, and I call them the Island of Misfit Toys. When you have an opener, you empty the bench of the Island of Misfit Toys, and they all pitched last night. And wouldn't you know it, they gave up 8 runs.
Well, there was a guy named Jeffrey Springs.
Yes.
I don't know who he is.
I saw him. The only reason he's on this team is that during one of those, his debut in the inter-squad game, they had like 17 inter-squad games before the season started. Jeffrey Springs struck out like 6 guys in a row.
Oh.
And we thought, oh, he's a good pitcher. No, he was just facing the Red Sox.
But so Ron Renicki, for some reason, left him in the game.
Don't start.
And he gave him 5 runs.
Don't start.
Okay, just quickly. We got to talk about this for a second. Oh. What did Brian Johnson do?
Yeah.
What did he do to not even get a look this season? And I'm not saying he's the savior, but the guy threw 99 innings last year.
What did he do? He's just as good as any of the guys who pitched last night. Easily.
He's better than any of these guys.
You're telling me he can't start every 5 days for this team?
I just love how you guys are nitpicking why Brian Johnson isn't on this
team. No.
That's a valid question.
That's the end of the discussion. But it was just after watching the guys that Ron Renicki emptied out the bullpen for last night, you're like, oh, here's a guy who actually has major league experience. Maybe the Red Sox should think about that guy. But Brian Johnson's like, well, there's no way I can make this team, which by itself is really funny. So he's like, please get rid of me. And the Sox are like, okay.
Ron Renicki is trying to build a statue out of dog turds.
Yeah.
You can't get angry at him.
Thank you.
Look,
yes.
What he has to work with.
Talk to Bundy over here. It's the truth.
The minute I watched last night, I was better. That guy should not have come back out.
I'm sorry. Don't start.
It doesn't matter.
Do you want to go into this again? They're a sub-500 team that may finish last. Ron Renicki's a nice older guy who will smile for the cameras through his mask every night.
And you know what? I find it, like, I can't get angry at any of the players. I can get angry, obviously, at management and for them putting this together. But there's only one guy in this team that's kind of pissed me off, and at least he had a good night last night. So at least J.D. Martinez can stop complaining about not having any in-game video to help him.
Yeah.
Martinez launches a high deep drive, and that ball is way out of Fenway Park. J.D. Martinez for the first time. Bob said, I didn't give it up. It is 4-1 Red Sox. J.D. Martinez absolutely smoked it.
That's been the only storyline this year that's gotten me ticked at one of the players, is him complaining about not having the in-game video to help him hit.
How about not pinch hitting when he was asked to? He was asked to pinch hit in New York, and he said no. We've never discussed this on the show.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
That's bad. And listen, nobody cares, right? Why should I even bring it up?
Good point.
Why
even bring it up? It doesn't matter.
That one's worth caring about because it isn't. Like, I mean, if you're not listening to your manager, I mean, that's different.
You know why he's not listening to his manager? Because he knows he's only a placeholder until Alex Cora comes back.
His manager doesn't suck. He just he was set up to fail.
He took the job knowing it was a one-year deal.
Don't leave Jeffrey Springs with a 15 ERA in a game.
Joe, you're wasting everybody's time, including your own. Don't worry about it.
I don't want to defend Renicki anymore. Can we stop?
Let's all stop.
Hey, Joe, what was Doc Rivers' record his first year he was a coach for the
Celtics?
Doesn't
matter. That team was atrocious.
Exactly right.
No. Renicki stinks. Doc Rivers is a good coach.
Doc Rivers, a good coach. You didn't know that until the Celtics.
I knew it because I watched him in Orlando. And I know Orlando wasn't great, but he was a good coach.
He was 1-10. He got fired.
Stinks.
No. Renicki went to the 196 games from Milwaukee one year.
Yeah. He stinks.
Went to the playoffs.
He stinks so bad, and I'm sick of defending him. And you know what? People are writing articles.
I saw an article this week.
Ron Renicki deserves better. Don't leave a guy with a 15 ERA in the game.
Joe,
they had a lead.
You haven't defended him at all. The fact that you actually opened up your mouth to form that sentence is laughable to me. You haven't defended him at all. Why are you so angry about this?
He stinks.
Good.
Bring up a young guy. Give me a young kid.
So
give me Veritek. Give me anybody else besides this old guy.
Guys, be quiet. Hey, guys, stop. The meat is everywhere. Swing it all over. All right.
So what?
Joe, all right.
They had a lead, Rich. It was 4-1 after that home run.
Doesn't matter.
This isn't about winning games and making the playoffs.
I give up. I don't even know what to say. All right. Joe.
What the hell is wrong with you?
How many more games do you think this team would have won if Ron Reneke was the greatest manager in the world?
Oh, I'd like to hear this answer. No. No.
They don't pitch to Aaron Judge?
You're telling
they
me.
They win last night's game.
Stop it. Stop it. Just stop.
I got two right there.
Just stop. You're telling me instead of being 6-10, they'd be 9-6 at this point. Or 10-6. Or 9-7.
I think they'd be 8-8.
No, they would not be 8-8. Listen, they'd be right where they are right now.
Listen, Bobby Valentine doesn't pitch to Aaron Judge in that situation.
And you know what? Bobby Valentine would be 6-10 or 5-11 with this team.
I get your guys' point.
Great team.
So why are you still complaining?
I get your point. It's because I'm watching.
Yeah.
And the guy's dumb.
How much money? He's betting on these games?
No, he's dumb.
So why are you so angry?
Because you don't bring a guy with a 15 ERA. You don't leave him in a game after getting outs.
Joe, we keep going around in circles on this. Do you understand the point I'm making to you? That it doesn't matter. This team is set up to fail. The pitching staff is historically bad. It doesn't matter who he brings in. If he takes out Jeffrey Springs, he brings in another guy who gives up four runs. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. They blow leads.
Correct.
Everything's fine.
Yes,
blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
Okay. But you asked me a question, and I answered it. Would they have won games? Yes, they would without Ron Reneke.
No, they wouldn't.
I don't want to see another article about Ron Reneke deserves better.
Fine.
You know what? Be a better manager. Be a better manager.
I don't get you. I don't get you at all.
I do like how fired up he gets against a team that nobody really cares about right now.
I mean, including me.
No, you know what it is that we actually have sports in this town. So it's like if we want to talk about teams being successful and winning, I don't know. Why don't you have a good manager?
Or
how
about we talk about the Celtics and the Bruins?
We can certainly do that. And the Bruins, all right, but listen, that's another story. All right, they have a fresh new start today.
All right, Captain Takes, keep some hold them in, man. You're like one of those Willy Waterbug things you plug into the backyard with a hose. Take. Just calm down, man. It's 6:49. All right, a lot of show to go, a lot of energy.
It's just let's not defend Reneke anymore.
They should have taken Jeffrey Springs out, Rich. They should have taken him out.
John, stop. All right, here's what I want you to do. Dan O'Brien, I want you to mark this down. I want you to record the 8 o'clock headlines that he does. He's going to be at a Sleepy Joe. He's going to be
what, the batteries
Joe.
Have run out? Or
yeah.
No, I'm good, man. I got a great night's sleep.
You're shooting your load out in the 6 o'clock hour there, Joe Murray. All right, squad, so hold it back. Here you go. Take a breath. Save some takes in the take chamber, all right? We'll get them all out in a little bit. All right. We'll be right back. Take a breath, Joe.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What's up? This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Five Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich, and if we've learned anything over the last several weeks, it's that bubbles seem to work. And sports that don't use bubbles, not so much. So the NHL yesterday, they completed their second week of its Phase 4 return to play shenanigans, and no positive test results for COVID-19. It has been a wild success, just like it has in the NBA. And with baseball, you have a massive cluster F. As a matter of fact, not only do you have everything that's been going on with the Cardinals, and how many games are they supposed to play now in 45 days? It's like 53 games in 45 days. Like, they've got to cram them all in to be able to catch up.
No way. There's no way. There's no way they get that done. No way.
No, it's not going to happen. And this is the beginning of all of this. So there's going to be other teams where this happens. And there's already like the Marlins who have lost a ton of time. It's just, it's not working. As a matter of fact, I love that the whole plan was, we'll just trust our guys that things will work out. I don't know if you heard about what happened in Cleveland.
Yeah.
But a lot of these teams have hired security guards now to enforce all of the protocols. And apparently, Indians pitcher Mike Clevinger, he went out on Saturday night with one of his teammates just to go hang out, go to bars. And apparently, Clevinger ended up getting busted by the guy who is their security dude. And now he is going to miss his scheduled start today and will quarantine. He flew with the team on Sunday after, of course, he went out and about. But so they have, like, the team is hiring their own snitches to make sure. And by the way, good for them, because, you know, if you're like the Cardinals right now, you're pissed at whatever shut all this down for you. I mean, this sucks, especially if you're a pitcher. And for all of these guys, getting out of the routine and the rotation, that screws up everything. To stop and start is not easy for these guys.
It's not. So, hold on, Rich. I just want to make sure we add this. It's not just a teammate that Clevinger went out with. It was Zach Plesac, who is another member of the starting rotation. So in one move, the Indians lost two of the five guys in their starting rotation. Both of them have to quarantine. Both Clevinger and Plesac have made three starts this season. They're taking regular turns here. And on a team that has Terry Francona with, you know, a lot of issues, physical issues he's had most of his life, you would think it would trickle down that you really have to be careful. But like I was saying before, these are kids being kids. You know, I want to go out to a bar and have a drink. I don't care where we are. I don't care what the protocols are. I don't care if we have to stay inside or not. I mean, you have to have, if you are a Major League Baseball and you want to have playoffs, you must have a bubble. You must.
Well, so that's why baseball right now is doing what they have to do, because it's one thing to screw up the regular season, but you can't screw up the playoffs. So according to the LA Times, they had an article yesterday that says that finally baseball is in the process of creating a contingency plan for the postseason that includes potentially a bubble. They're going to have a postseason bubble, and it looks like right now they're trying to draw out plans to make it happen. Now, it's unclear where they're going to do it. They want a warm weather state. California, they've talked about. Texas, Florida, Arizona is probably more than likely where it's going to be, because they seem to be set up the best with all the spring training and minor league facilities that are there. You're going to have to do that. And Major League Baseball, I just don't see how. Could you imagine what's going on with the Cardinals happening if this was during the World Series, or like, you know, right. You wouldn't be able to pull this off. It would screw up everything. So now they're going to have to, it's almost like a little too late, but if they can get this done and have a playoff bubble, then maybe, just maybe, they'll be able to save somewhat of the integrity of this season. And they're going to have to do that, because just look around. Hockey, basketball, MLS, it works wherever you try to do it. And to be quite honest, I knew it was going to be effective. I never thought it would be this effective. So good on all of them, and they've got to make that move pretty soon, and it sounds like they're moving that way. All right, no commercials, just the headlines with Big Joe Murray, and we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.